Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tonight, we see the Giants play preseason game number two, and they do it similarly to what the Jets were doing after a joint practice against the team they're about to face. And the guy who's there covering every nook and cranny of your New York football Giants is Paul Dottino. P-Dot, how you been?
Hey, great to talk to you again, Evan. If I may digress for 1 second on the Yankees, you know, Trevor Austin was all of a sudden, after five or six homers in that first month of the season, a forgotten man. It boggles the mind to me how they demoted him to the minors, buried him, and then traded him, and now he's no longer an option.
You know what, though? The guy they got back for him has turned out to be pretty valuable, too, in Lance Lynn. I mean, who knew that Lynn and Happ would need to serve as much value as they have right now? So, you know, you got to look at it that way, too. At least they were able to get something significant back for him.
Well, they might have been able to get something for Greg Bird. You never know. There's a sucker born every minute.
That is true. Let's go through who we're going to see tonight. All right. Let's start off with Saquon Barkley. He tweaked the hamstring. Doesn't feel all that serious. But what are you hearing about his status for tonight?
I would be shocked, quite frankly, if he played, because the Giants were extremely careful with him coming off of that tweaked hammy earlier in the week. Comes out to Detroit, you know, jogs around a little bit, catches a few passes, but doesn't really run any practice snaps. And you and I both know, Evan, you know, even in the regular season, it's rare for a coach to put a guy in a game if he didn't practice. It does happen on occasion, but this is a preseason game. It would just serve no purpose whatsoever to put him in there. And quite frankly, Coach Shurmur has already told the media that, you know, Barkley has passed every test that they've given him to this point. It's not like they know he needs extra work because he's deficient in a particular area.
Yeah, I mean, I look at him, and obviously Odell's a different situation where I wouldn't mess around. I'd almost wrap them in bubble wrap so that they're ready to go for that first game against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think Odell Beckham actually participated even more and more extensively in terms of the rigors of his practice schedule here in Detroit against the Lions than even they expected. And because these dual practice sessions were so fruitful, I think it actually allays any of their fears in terms of him not being himself. And really, it almost makes it moot to put him in a preseason game, because they were able to do more things in this dual practice session with particular players and particular schemes and particular purposes than they would do during their regular practice at camp. So with that enhanced work, he really has proven everything that they need to see out of him.
Looking at this offensive line, I want to go to the center position, because I thought last year Brett Jones was pretty good. I thought he was okay. Right now he's battling with a buddy of his, John Jalapio, for that center job.
Yeah.
What's the status of it right now, this competition for the center's job?
It's up for grabs. They have not determined who the opening day starter is going to be, because there are still three preseason games to go. They will be graded very, very heavily, and justifiably so. To me, I think it's quite clear. Brett Jones proved last year, believe it or not, he was one of the most efficient pass-blocking centers in the National Football League. But he is a tad undersized. His frame is a tad smaller. And, you know, you look at Jalapio, and he is much more of a run blocker. Bigger frame up top, wider body, more of a run blocker than a pass blocker. So it's kind of like they have contrasting skills that they bring to the table. But ultimately, as it's been explained to us time and time again by Coach Shurmur, who, remember, was a center at Michigan State when he played college ball, you have to make all the correct calls. If you're not making the right line calls, you're not going to be the starter. It's really that simple. So I think what will happen is you'll continue to see these guys get as many reps as possible in the games, and it's the guy who makes the fewest mistakes on the calls that will probably win the job.
And I would think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that Jones has that edge because of the experience he's had playing the position more so than Jalapio, right?
Well, you'll remember he played almost a half of the season last year at center after Richburg had gotten hurt, and Jalapio has not. He was a guard for the last month of the season when he came in and Fluker had gone to injured reserve. So, yes, he has taken more snaps as an NFL center than his competition. Does that automatically mean he's the winner? No. I mean, if Jalapio proves that he can have all the calls down correctly, and it's even Steven, well, you know what? They might just go with the bigger frame because right. they clearly want to run the ball a lot more this year than they did last year.
And they certainly can, I mean, especially when you had a guy like Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick in the draft.
Sure.
How has the adjustment been for Ereck Flowers moving from the left side to right tackle?
I had him down for one negative play in last week's game, against the Browns. I understand he was okay in the dual practices against the Lions. He was not great. He was not bad. It was virtually even Steven kind of draw a week for him, which I think a lot of people would take. You know, in my opinion, if Ereck Flowers is just adequate and functions without sabotaging any parts of the playbook, then that's what you'll sign up for 16 games. The last thing you want from any of your players, especially an offensive lineman, though, is to play to the level where you have to start taking pages out of your playbook because he cannot function properly. So the litmus test or the bar for me, and I think for the coaching staff for Ereck Flowers, may not be what the fans want it to be. You know, they never want to see a quarterback get rushed or get sacked or hit or any of that. That's not what this is about. This is about, can the guy hold down the position well enough that you can call all the chapters of your playbook? That's all it's going to take. You just need to be adequate.
We're talking to Paul Dottino on the Giants. Looking back at that first preseason game against Cleveland, we saw David Njoku have a big game, which is kind of a familiar thing, tight ends having success against this Giant defense. One, I think the Giants sent a blitz, and Ogletree was one-on-one with him. Were there any, for you, and what was it? I'd say about three drives, maybe less than that, maybe only two drives, where the starting defense was on the field. Any overall concerns? I know it's the preseason, but look, we watch every play. Any concerns coming out of what you saw performance-wise?
I thought the starting defense actually fared extremely well. You mentioned that one play. It was the hurry-up attack when Tyrod Taylor went down the field. I believe it was four consecutive snaps in a hurry-up. It might have been five. And you, as you said, Njoku beat Ogletree in man coverage. Landon Collins got caught on the blitz. Ogletree had to pick up the tight end man-to-man, and he did not get the jam. And if you give Njoku a free release, you got a problem. It's just that simple. He's just too good. And I talked to Ogletree actually on the radio cast in the second half of the game, and he flat out admitted it to me. He said he played his wrong technique. He didn't get the jam. Once Njoku got a step, you know, turn out the lights, the party is over, he's gone. And that's what happened. So there's no question that the communication needs to be crisp in this type of defense because it's a high-risk, high-reward defense with a lot of moving parts at all times. So you certainly want that to be cleaned up and polished up as quickly as possible. But I think, you know, if you look at the Giant D, what was the worst part about it last year, Evan? The fact that they got gashed by the run. And I think what we have seen so far, not just from the starters, but even the backup defensive line, last week, they 33 carries for the Browns for a total of only 50 yards. The longest rush from scrimmage was 7 yards. It looks as though that they've really got that run game buttoned down. And I would submit to you that's probably the biggest plus or the biggest positive that this defense has learned about itself in August.
What about the secondary right now? Specifically, who starts opposite Landon Collins at free safety?
They don't know. It's wide open. Curtis Riley, the converted corner from Tennessee, is going to get the first shot tonight. He was a bit nicked up last week and did not play against the Browns. He's been running with the first team here in Detroit during the dual practices, and he'll get the call as the starter tonight. Andrew Adams is behind him. He's really a strong safety, but out of necessity is in the competition at free safety. Michael Thomas, the former Dolphin, is in the mix, but I haven't seen him bust out, you know, to deserve a chance to really be the guy, but he's certainly still in the mix. And then Darian Thompson, who really had a subpar year last year. He was very, very quiet He's now got himself a hammy that he suffered in the Browns game. So that's not going to help his chances in the competition. Now, Coach Shomer tells us that Curtis Riley is very good at communication. And I just said a minute ago to you, that is extremely important in this scheme. Well, that's the reason that they thought he could convert from corner to safety. Very good communicator, very good at recognition and anticipation. They're really anxious to see him in his first game as a safety tonight.
That'll be interesting to keep an eye on. What about the corner depth in general? Do you think they add somebody, whether it's through – I doubt Orlando Scandrick. I guess he would cost too much based on the cap room they have. And I haven't heard them connected to Scandrick. All I've read so far are the Chiefs. But do you see them adding any cornerback depth before the start of the season?
I think the radar is out. It's got to be, because behind the two guys who are starting, Jenkins and Apple, right now B.W. Webb seems to have emerged after the hamstring injury to Dante Dion. B.W. Webb, who has been much traveled and a journeyman throughout his career, he's the guy who has nudged ahead, and he'll be the guy they primarily look at with the first unit in the nickel package. Nobody else has really asserted themselves. William Gay had an opportunity to do it earlier in camp and just did not seize it like he should have. And so that's why Webb right now has the inside track. But I think it would be foolish of them, and I do think that they're smart enough to know this, the radar is out for a corner. Scandrick is obviously going to want some money, although he got a $1 million bonus from the Redskins before they cut him. But he's also got a lot of wear on his tires.
Sure.
And you got to wonder, the Redskins were looking for corner help. And if they cut him this early in the preseason, that's a bad sign, Evan. I do think that much like last year when the Giants traded for Ross Cockrell right at the final day before, you know, the final cuts with the Steelers, look for the Giants maybe to do something like that this year. If they could grab somebody who they believe has something to bring to the table, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the trigger again and did something like that, because right now that depth chart is very thin.
Sure. We're talking to Paul Dottino. How about Davis Webb? You have to figure that he'll be a lot calmer in this start than the way he came out in his last start. Eli had the two drives that they gave him, then Davis Webb takes over, and he was wide to a lot of different guys. And I guess nerves or excitement being extra pumped up may have had something to do with it. At least that's what's been said. What's your thoughts on Davis Webb?
Yeah, he was very tight. I talked to him after the game and during the week, and he was really, really tight. Hadn't played in a game in a year, you know, since the last preseason. See, that was the one advantage that Kyle Auletta had. He played all last year with the Richmond Spiders, and you know, that's obviously some of his experience. Well, Davis, what did Davis do since last August?
Yeah.
All he'd been doing is practice. So he had been out of live bullet action, if you will, much longer than Loletta had, and I think it showed. Loletta was much more poised, much more calm, and certainly, in his action last week against Cleveland, fared better. Webb seems to understand what it was that got him hepped up. He pressed. He seems to believe that he can get that under control. The coaches have tried to tell him about it. Hey, don't worry. He had a good week of practice in Detroit. In fact, yesterday particularly was very, very sharp. And so they're certainly looking forward to it. I know Coach Shurmur really wants to see Davis perform like the Davis Webb had at practice, because that's the guy that the Giants want to be their number two quarterback, not the guy who played tight against Cleveland.
No, no doubt. How much do we see of him today? Like, how much are we first going to see of Eli? I mentioned we saw him on two drives in the first preseason game. What about tonight?
Well, the starters got about a dozen snaps last weekend against Cleveland. It is only logical to assume that they will get a little bit more in this game. That's always the way the MO goes, and I have no reason to believe that will change. I think the biggest question that you would probably have here, and I certainly will have, is does Davis Webb get any reps with the first-team offense? Because if you recall, when he came into the Browns game last week, when he came in, he was primarily with all the second-teamers. I'm curious to see if Shurmur tries to get him some looks, some snaps, even if it's only a series, with the first-team folks. Because Shurmur had told us going into the Browns game that was something he was thinking about, and it just didn't happen. He also has said to us, you know, you got to get those guys, those backups, in a familiarity situation so that they know that if they do step in with those first team guys, they're not strangers, that they do know that, hey, you know what? I've worked with them before. I know them. They know me. We can do this. We've done it. So I got a hunch he's going to try to get Webb some first-team snaps. It just smells like it,
right.
But I just don't know. You never know how the circumstances are going to play out.
Sure. Well, we'll see. We'll be watching tonight. Paul, enjoy your time. Enjoy the game tonight. Thank you very much for popping on.
Thank you so much, Evan. Be good.
Thank you, man. Paul Dottino covers the Giants for this radio station. You'll hear him throughout the season.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.